Ever since I was ordained, I've always focused my homilies and a lot of my talks on the spiritual life, right? On the intentional relationship with Jesus Christ that we are all invited to enter into with Him in this life and really for all eternity. Because I fundamentally believe that if we prioritize that relationship with Jesus Christ first and foremost, then everything else is going to follow. If we have a right relationship with God in prayer, then morality is going to follow from that. Justice will follow from that. Right doctrine will follow from that. Right worship will follow from that right relationship with the person, Jesus Christ. And so how do we cultivate that relationship with Jesus Christ? Well, we cultivate it through prayer. Prayer, as the catechism defines it, is our living and vital relationship with God. Right? Prayer is the way that we nurture our relationship with Jesus Christ. And since I've been ordained, I always preach on prayer. And I remember at my last assignment, someone came up to me one day and said, "Man, Father, I get really inspired whenever you talk about prayer. And you always tell us that in order to know the voice of God in prayer, we have to know the Word of God, the Bible. And so I've been going home after Mass, and I pull out my Bible, and then I read the Bible, but I still don't know how to pray with it, right? I see the passages, and I hear the familiar stories I grew up with, but I'm still confused as to how to actually enter into prayer with the Word of God." And it hit me, I never explained any practical ways to pray, right? I always talked about prayer, but how do you take that and live it? How do you live it? And so today for the homily, I want to pray with y'all during the homily. There's an ancient form of prayer that is very old, and it's called Lectio Divina. It means divine reading. And Lectio Divina has traditionally four parts, but I always have the fifth part. The five parts of Lectio Divina are this. It's we take the Word of God, and we read it. What does the Scripture say in and of itself? And after we read the Word of God, we meditate on it. What is this Scripture passage now saying to me? After we meditate on it, we pray with it, which is, of course, just having a conversation with God. That living and vital relationship is sustained through conversation. And after we pray, we contemplate, which is where we simply sit with God and look at God as God gazes upon us. And then the fifth step is an action. Come up with a concrete action that we can do based on our time reading and meditating and praying and contemplating the Word of God. So let's try this right now with the gospel for today. Today's gospel from Matthew, it says to us, first reading it, it says this, Jesus Christ made his way to the disciples. They were on a boat. There was a storm going on. And Jesus Christ, he began to walk towards the boat in the midst of all the waves. They were kind of scared. They realized it was Christ. So Peter said, "If it's you, call out to me and I will come to you." Jesus said, "Come." Peter began to walk on water in the midst of a storm. And then Peter took his eyes off of Jesus at some point and focused his eyes on the storm that was going on around him. When he took his eyes off of Jesus and focused it on the storm, he fell in the water, began to sink, became frightened. He cried out, "Lord, save me," and Jesus saved him. And that's what it says. So we first just read the passage and focus on what did the text actually say? Not what did it say to me yet, but what did it say in and of itself? And after we focus on what it says in and of itself, meditation follows, which is where we apply it to ourselves. What does it say to me? All right, so what this says to me is that, well, Peter was able to walk on water in the midst of a storm towards Jesus. So that means that God was with Peter in the storm, right? Whenever we have storms in our life, God is with us. He's not somewhere else out there. He's with us. And Peter was able to walk towards him as long as he was looking at him. But when the second Peter took his eyes off of Jesus and focused it on the storm instead of on Jesus, he fell. So what that says to me is anytime I'm going through a storm in my life, whether it's a storm with somebody at work or if it's a storm in my own family life, broken relationships, If it's a financial storm, if it's a physical or a health storm I'm going through, if it's even a storm in the spiritual life, if it's just this intense darkness and dryness in my prayer life, anytime I'm going through a storm, if I focus on that storm, what's going to happen? Well, what's going to happen to me is the same thing that happened to Peter. If I focus on the storm in my life, I'm going to become anxious, and I'm going to start to sink, and I'm going to worry, and I'm going to cry out, and I'm going to lose my mind if I focus on the storm. But if I focus on Jesus in the midst of the storm of my life, whatever that storm may be, well, I can be at peace. I can continue to walk towards my goal, which is to be with God and to be with God for all eternity. Then as I focus on what it says to me, a memory comes to my mind. And so for me, the memory that comes to my mind as I focus on the fruit of dwelling on storms as opposed to dwelling on Jesus, I remember years ago as I was a deacon, I was doing a retreat in New Orleans. I was doing a youth conference. And at the conference, I was a part of this skit where I was walking on water. And so I began to walk on water in the midst of the storm. And a photographer took a picture of me walking on water for this skit, and it made it to the front page of the newspaper, and then someone took that picture from the newspaper and put it on social media. Well, it looked as if I was just dancing in a church. And so people began to write all these blogs about me, and they were saying, who is this crazy deacon dancing in a church? He is so irreverent. He's crazy. And like legit, people were writing Facebook blogs about me, other kind of social media blogs, and all my friends were emailing me, man, Deacon Josh, you should read what people are writing about you. And I was reading this stuff, and I was like, this is crazy. That's not true. I was a part of a skit. That wasn't what it was. But no one else knew that. From the picture, it looked like something else. And so I began to dwell on what these people who didn't even know me were saying about me on social media. And I began to brood, and I became anxious, and I became worried, and I started to lose all my peace. And then I finally had the sense to go to the Lord in prayer. And when I knelt down before the Lord in the Blessed Sacrament and opened up the Word of God, the scripture that I came to was a scripture where it was talking about Jesus when his ministry began, and he came back home after the ministry began. And the scripture says that the family of Jesus thought he was out of his mind. Right? They totally misunderstood Jesus Christ. They didn't get him. And for the first time in the midst of that storm of people blogging about me and stuff and being confused about what I was really doing, I felt this peace because I realized I am imitating Christ right now. I'm being misunderstood, right? Just as Christ himself was misunderstood. Just like whenever he went to the temple as a kid and Mary and Joseph couldn't find him. And when they finally found him, they didn't understand what he meant, right? She dwelt on it in her heart, but she didn't fully get it, what he was doing in the temple in his father's house. Whoa, for the first time when I focused my eyes on Jesus in the midst of people writing crazy things about me, I experienced this peace because I am with the Lord right now. And then I was drawn to another scripture about Our Lady, and it hit me that Mary herself, man, she must have been judged herself because she was found with a child before she lived with Joseph. You know, people in the town were talking about her. They didn't understand what the Lord was doing with her and her ministry and her walk towards eternity. Man, this peace came over me because I was no longer dwelling on what people were saying. I was no longer brooding on the opinions of others. I was now fixing my eyes on God, focusing on God. And people were still writing things and people were still saying things, but I didn't care anymore because I wasn't focused on that anymore. I was now focused solely on the face of Jesus, both in the Eucharist and in the Word inscribed, the sacred scriptures, and peace came from that. So that's what my meditation is. Whoa. So now I go into prayer, which is, remember, a conversation with God. Man, God, thank you so much for all the times in my life that you've given me the grace to focus on you, to focus on you in the midst of the storms of my life. And I apologize for the times that I've taken my eyes off of you and just straight up dwelled on the storm. And I recognize that, Lord, when I dwelled on the storm, no peace came from that, right? No peace, only anxiety, only worry, only concern, only frustration came from that. So, Lord, I apologize for doing that because I know you don't want me to live like that. So, again, just please give me the grace. Give me the grace to always focus on you. to always focus on you and to walk towards you so that I can experience that rest that only you can give, Lord. And then after that, I contemplate, which is just simply sitting with the Lord and looking at Him as He looks at me in the midst of the storm. And then after that, I come up with a concrete action. Right, so an action that I could come up with is that I'm gonna write down on a post-it note, do not brood. So in case I'm tempted to brood today, I'm not going to brood, because I'm going to put that post-it note on my refrigerator because I'm always going to see my fridge. I'm going to put that post-it note on my bedpost because I'm always going to see my bedpost. I'm going to put that post-it note in my bathroom because I don't know about y'all, but I always go to the bathroom every day. And yeah, that's right, I do. You didn't know I appreciate the bathroom. This one does. And I'm going to put that post-it note. Y'all know I'm crazy. I'm going to put that post-it note on my steering wheel so that when I'm driving, I can always see it. Don't brood. Then I'm even going to put a reminder on my cell phone to remind me 3 times a day if I struggle with like dwelling on the storms of my life. I'm going to put a reminder on my cell phone, don't brood, don't dwell on the storms, to remind me at 6 a.m., at 12 noon, and at 6 p.m., right? 3 times a day for it to pop up to remind me in case I get tempted to begin to just dwell on the storms of my life. Whatever those storms may be, financial, health, family, relationship, work-related, neighborhood, whatever that storm may be, I don't want to dwell on it because I won't have peace. It won't aid me in my relationship with the Lord. It won't aid me in walking towards eternity with my God. Whenever we can grow in the spiritual life, right, and grow in the spiritual life through consistency with prayer, which is, again, is that living, vital relationship with God that we all need. Whenever we can grow in prayer that is rooted in the authentic voice of our God as He has given His voice to us in the Scriptures, then everything else will follow. Everything else will follow. Right ordered relationships will follow. Right justice and charity towards others will follow. Right morality will follow. Most importantly, right worship of God will follow, because it's all coming from that fundamental relationship that we have all been created for. So let us take serious our walk with God, and let us be men and women who are rooted in prayer and who practically pray every day, spend time every day with God, so that He can order our steps in this life and order our steps according to His word as we walk towards eternity.